This is the Cockpit Air Chatter Podcast, brought to you by Charlie, Juliet, Tango, Romeo, broadcasting live every Thursday night at 10 o'clock on 901.3, Foxtrot, Mike.
Pilot, navigator, report immediately.
Hi there, and welcome to the Cockpit Air Chatter Podcast. Hope everyone's having a great day. My name's Pilot. I'm the host of the Cockpit, a show that my brother and I put on in Regina, Saskatchewan on 91.3 FM CJTR Regina Community Radio. We have a great time with it every Thursday night from 10 till midnight. We play some tunes, have some laughs, and we talk to a lot of bands. We bring a lot of people in to hang out with us on the show. We play some of their brand new music. It's helping the local scene, and we also get a few bands from that pop through town. Everybody wants to rehear these interviews and know what we were up to, so we decided to put a little bit of a podcast together for you. I will note that none of these include any of the music we had on the show, unfortunately, due to copyright law and the complexities therein. It's a little bit difficult to get that stuff all together, but we still have some great chats, and I'm sure you guys are going to enjoy it without the music. If you guys do want to hear the music, I do leave the introductions in, so you guys can go maybe download it off of your favorite streaming service, or most all of these bands have a Bandcamp page out there somewhere, so go check that out. But first, let's get to the first band that we spoke to. Last month, in October, we spoke to Ugly Again, first thing, the first Thursday of the month. They brought in all their equipment and jammed it into the tiny studio down at CJTR, and we had a great time. It was also the Navigator's birthday, so stay tuned right to the end for his birthday song. So let's take a listen to our interview with Ugly Again.
Guys and gals.
All right, guys, tonight's guests are no strangers to the Cockpit, as you can well tell by their sideman at work tonight. They were here about a year ago as members of the band Computer Sweat, but they've returned with a brand new project called Ugly Again. It's a two-piece that explores themes of anxiety, addiction, struggles of our Indigenous brothers and sisters in this modern age, and they do that through the lens of punk music. They are gearing up for a real big show Saturday night at the Mercury to raise money for their debut EP, which they started recording this past weekend, right?
That's right.
All right. It's my pleasure to welcome back Devin and Cullen. Ugly Again. Welcome, guys.
Co-pilot, Navigator. Thank you so much.
Hey, guys, always it's a pleasure to be here.
So, as we were saying in the intro there, you guys hit the studio last weekend. How's it going so far?
Oh, man. It's been a wild ride. Recording with Chris Demas over at Grind Central.
Nice.
Yeah, he's a wizard in the studio. He's got
Dr. Demas.
Yeah, big shouts to Dr. Demas. He's got an amazing setup. I had about 9 drum sets to pick from, just racks of guitar. It was overwhelming, but in like a really good way.
It was like we died and went to gear heaven.
Yeah.
It was very cool.
Yeah, but it's coming along really well. We're more than half done. We can say that.
Yeah, we were in there last night and Tuesday finishing up the vocals. We've got the tail end of that to get done, and then we're on to the more monotonous, kind of boring stuff. But it's been a lot of fun so far. Yeah.
Cool. Easy with
so
two people.
On that.
Yeah. Two people makes it good.
Yeah, yeah.
And quick.
How many songs are you guys doing?
Six song EP.
So that'd be a good size EP.
Mm-hmm.
So when I read the intro there, I left one of your guys' descriptors out of the intro on purpose because I wanted to talk with you guys about it right here. So your bio says you combine elements of punk and sludge. Now, punk is easy for me. I former Mohawk wearer here. Like, I got that.
Oh, man. I wish I could see that.
I know, right?
Yeah.
So, but sludge, though. I think I'd know it if I hear it, but Let's discuss sludge. What is sludge?
I would love to. So like everybody knows, kind of like your stoner bands, it all just like stems from Black Sabbath, essentially,
right,
to me.
It's the genesis of sludge.
Yeah, and so you know you got bands like Black Sabbath, and then you move ahead a couple generations, you got bands like Crowbar would be a really good example.
Sleep, the Melvins,
yeah. The Melvins were kind of like the pioneers, a little bit, of sludge.
Yeah.
That two basses, you can't get grosser than that.
Right.
And I guess it's like stoner metal's ugly cousin. Like, it's really bad.
Yeah, just really, really heavy and low and distorted and just crunchy, chunky kind of, yeah.
All right.
I hope those are all like evocative words for the listeners out there.
I think it's good. It describes what you guys are going to be showing us tonight. So, but then further to the sludge stuff, Cullen, you mentioned to me when we were talking, actually when we set up the show, that you guys went through quite a few struggles getting to this point. And that you've been kicked out. You got kicked out of a few practice places, and you even had a urine soaked jam space. Does the sludge come out of that a little bit too?
Definitely. Yeah, no, definitely. Like there is like the aesthetic sludge, and then there's like the literal, like, there, can I say piss on the radio?
I think you just did.
You just did.
There was urine all over our gear.
There's sludgy music and there's sludgy experiences that we had.
It started like when we first got our first jam space, it was actually in a squat house. A guy that I met from my work, mm-hmm. He was like, oh, you need a jam space? Like, I got the perfect place for you guys. And we showed up and started loading our stuff in, and we realized, yeah, like, this is a squat house. Like, there's, like, windows are boarded up. Like, nobody's supposed to be living here. And we jammed there for a couple months until the city eventually came with a notice for us to...
Stop.
we all of it was really up in the air, but we wanted to just get our gear out of there before there's padlocks on the door.
Yeah. The one day I had to climb in through the living room window to grab some stuff. And so that was kind of the alarm bell for us, I think. And that's when we moved to our current space underneath a bar on the Dudney Strip there, directly under a washroom where we ran into our next...
Yeah. There's all sorts of pipes and stuff on the roof, and
not even the fun ones.
No,
plumbing exclusively.
We were kind of like, it's kind of like staring into like a little bit of a scary situation, just praying that we're not going to ever have to deal with any problems. But yeah, lo and behold, like I think the first weekend.
Yeah, we moved in on a Monday, and the Saturday morning. Yeah. I came to the space.
Must have been a busy night at the bar.
Yeah. Yeah, or at least in the bathroom.
Yeah.
But yeah, I came to the space, and I had to take apart pedals and amps, and I took a hair dryer from my grandparents, Diane, Fred. If you're listening, I love you so much. And yeah, we had to blow dry all of our gear. It was a bummer.
Bummer summer.
Yeah.
Indeed.
We're still there. We're still rocking.
Yes.
Barring any, we have tarps. We have tarps,
which
now.
Is good. Yes, yeah. Yes.
we're semi prepared.
Courtesy of Landon Leibel.
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah. Thank you for the tarps, buddy.
The man is the center of the city's music industry, as far as I can tell.
Can get behind that. Yeah.
All right, guys. You want to play a tune for us? For those of you out there that are just listening, you probably can't quite see, obviously, what is happening in the studio right now. We have two young men with a full drum kit, and you can hear it there, a good-sized stack of amplifiers. Let's get sweaty with Ugly Again. Hey, we're back in the cockpit with Ugly Again tonight. We're having a great time. They just blew our ears off, and sounds like the speakers off of most of the radios in the city.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah, that's our goal.
What was some
one
of
our goals?
You had some feedback from some listeners there.
Yeah,
Kevin. What did you hear?
Generally, the friends and fam are saying good things. I hope they're not just humoring us. But no, I mean,
they're known to do that.
Yeah. But that's all criticism and all humoring is also good because I like to feel good.
And both of our moms said it was nice.
Yeah,
which
that was cool.
Is all that matters, really.
Yeah, at the end of the day,
this is why we're doing it.
Yeah,
Shannon, Erica,
thank you. Love ya.
All right, so let's get back to the EP. I want to get to the heavy talk now. Cullen, I warned you.
Yeah,
it's coming.
Oh, man,
you did.
I'm expecting some nardwiring.
Some nardwiring?
Nardwiring.
I don't have any real nardwar ones this time. I know I nardwired you guys last time
you
were here.
Oh, boy, did you ever. That was great.
So... but with the EP, and Cullen had kind of told me a bit about this before, the themes you guys are looking to explore as a band are important ones. You talk about anxiety, addiction, and prominent issues, some of these prominent issues in our current society. And I no doubt you guys are going to do a great job, but I wanted to focus on one of the issues that I want to talk about with you guys and discuss. You've mentioned that Indigenous poverty and the separation of Indigenous families and kind of the resulting intergenerational trauma that comes out of that from that systemic abuse is something you guys are going to be tackling with this. So I guess to start, what are you guys hoping to achieve with these discussions? What part of that discussion are you guys trying to have?
Well, and I know a lot of people have talked to me pretty directly about it, and they kind of, you know, it's as two white guys, like, what business do you have talking about?
And yeah, that's my follow up question is,
yeah,
where do you get off? But yeah,
right, yeah, no, of course, and I mean, it's I'm glad that people are asking me, and I think when we wrote Kids, that was kind of part of why we did it. Like, I'm aware, fully aware, that Indigenous issues need to be championed by, like, Indigenous people. But I'm also fully aware that, like, although I see these struggles and I've been invited into these communities, like, through my work, I've traveled to reserve lands, participated in cultural teachings, and the elders in these communities have welcomed me in kind of regardless of who I am and what I look like, right?
Right.
And so I've kind of adopted some of those frustrations, and I know that, you know, I don't necessarily have a seat at the table talking about solutions or troubleshooting for those issues. However, I think challenging other people like me, I guess, to question kind of what their commitment is to the whole reconciliation process, or just like challenging the like stereotypes or prejudices that they might have, is kind of important to what we're doing. Well, is more so what we're talking about with the song. Mm-hmm. And I guess, yeah, for me, recognizing that privilege that I was born into, and hoping that other people, you know, who were born into like kind of the same community as I am, challenge like their ways of thinking, I guess.
Just get to know what's going on in your backyard, what's happening with our neighbors, for sure. And, you know, we can't change the past, but we can definitely set a different trajectory for the future and build bridges. Like, the time is right now, and just getting, you know, keeping pushing the dialogue forward. Regardless of, you know, where you're coming from, is and like, you know, empathizing as much as we can, mm-hmm. is really important.
Yeah,
yeah, and I think at the end of the day too, it's, you know, you and I, Devin, we benefit off of a system that has like been put in place to kind of suppress Indigenous leaders like from succeeding, I don't think we want to be part of the problem anymore. Maybe help people kind of question what's going on more so than kind of take any like direction, I guess.
Yeah. Well said.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And do you think, I mean, I think the part I just to massage the answer a little bit more too. I mean, if this is a conversation, if reconciliation is a conversation, you can't just have one side talking, right? So the Indigenous side, we let them talk, and we have to stop and listen to them because that's important, but at some point we have to have our say as well and show that we've changed our attitudes, right?
So yeah, it's like a call and response, right? And like I said, like, I've had ample opportunities to kind of like learn and heal in a good way, and like those teachings and ceremonies that I've participated in have moved me deeply, like in a way that no other like cultural or religious organization really has. And so this is kind of my show of solidarity to the people who welcomed me into their community.
Mm-hmm. And for me, I think Indigenous issues are everyone's issues, clean environment, human rights, you know, that kind of stuff. And, any plight of any people in such a developed country, you know, it's holding everyone back, I think, from really, being self-fulfilled and self-actualized and prosperous.
For sure.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well said, Debbie.
Yeah, well done.
Oh, thank you.
Well done. So let's circle back to that subject of anxiety and addiction. Are these things that are starting to become hardwired into our society? It seems everybody's addicted to something. Everybody's anxious.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
People are freaking out about everything all the time.
Totally.
Yeah, I mean, if you look around, things are pretty crazy. But, like, I think a big, I don't want to say a pillar, but I think a big... sort of catalysts for our society. Maybe that's not even the right word, but like a lot of things in our society are based on instant gratification. And like, you know, you check your social media feed, you can go get cheap meals, cheap booze, cheap whatever you want, and to satiate yourself kind of, and maybe numb other problems that you have going on in your life. So yeah, like the fact that you said like everyone's addicted to something, it's definitely a byproduct of kind of, you know, where we're at in terms of not being as connected to one another as we could be, like poverty, environmental issues, war, like a lot of things that really stress people out, money, economy, this all weighs really heavily on people. Yeah. So, and that's kind of addiction and anxiety are just certainly byproducts of that.
Are we addicted to the anxiety?
Yeah, good question.
Whoa.
And I only ask this because... And I had this moment, one of these moments today. I'm looking at my phone and I went, I just want to just shut it off. I don't want to hear about Trump anymore. I don't want to hear about the liberals and the conservatives. And I don't want to hear, I need a break from it. But I've taken that break and I've sat in a cabin in the woods and just, just twitched on a bed because you're all of a sudden disconnected from it all. And it takes like a good solid 24 hours to reconnect to it, to reality. Sorry, not to.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and there's like, it's like, I don't know, it's like anything else that like, you know, you can become addicted to, like you withdraw off it almost. Yeah. Like, and it's weird too, because like, it's the same as like, you know, if someone slides a beer in front of me, I'm like, oh shit, like beer's looking pretty good right now. Mm-hmm. But it's like, you know, my phone will randomly light up and it's like, this person that you haven't talked to since high school posted a photo. You want to look at it? And I'm like, no. But I open my phone anyways, you know, and I go to make a phone call and 10 minutes later, I still haven't made the phone call, but I'm like, you know, 5 days deep in somebody's Instagram. Yeah, I know, it's weird. And like, I don't know, struggling with addiction is no, you know, far out concept to me for sure. Mm-hmm. And I see that for sure, like tunneling into social media and that idea that like, you know, everything happens now, and if it doesn't, I am empty. You know,
right, like, the FOMO, the fear of missing out. Right. Yeah. I had something I was going to say. Totally blanked on it. My bad. But we're really trying to just like talk about that stuff openly and just create a dialogue, especially amongst people of our generation. Like, yo, it's more commonplace than you think. You don't need to hide it. You should talk to people. Talk to your friends. Talk to your family. Like, you know, there's so many resources available. Mm. And it's, you know, hiding things or ignoring things is super unhealthy.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Devin was like, hey, I got this cool bass lick. And I was like, why are you putting a cable on a bass? And then he did it for me. I was like, that really did it for me. We should do that more.
We should do that more.
We should come up with like a cool answer that makes us sound smarter than we are.
Yeah.
Eight. What is that? That's
isn't it lucky number in China?
Oh.
Right? Because the 2008 Olympics was a lucky thing for them. And
cool.
Right? Yeah. It's a lucky number.
If it's lucky for them, it's got to be lucky.
Well, exactly. Let's just appropriate that.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
No. All right. So let's talk about the big fundraiser on Saturday.
I better get up here.
Yes.
Yes. We'll get everybody a microphone here.
Are we talking about the Mercury or
yes,
the
fun? Yes, yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Fundraiser, of course.
Yeah.
For the album.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Super, super excited. Love playing at the Mercury. It's one of our favorite venues in
town. Yeah, for sure.
It's going to be an unforgettable evening.
Indeed.
We've been chipping away at our own DIY T-shirts. We
got some buttons.
Yeah, got some buttons.
Yeah, surely pressing some buttons.
Oh yeah. These shirts are especially ugly again, just because they're made by us.
And we don't know what we're doing.
We barely know what we're doing, but we did it anyway, and they look great.
And of course, the show itself is a fundraiser for the EP that we're putting out again. A wonderful, talented new buddy, Dr. Demas, is helping us out.
He's probably watching Grey's Anatomy right now.
Yeah, I hope so.
Looking for some more surgical tricks.
I cannot operate. This is my wife.
Anyways, my lover's right there.
My lover's right there. So, you know, he's great at what he does, and what he does comes at a cost, and we are two big broke boys. So, yeah, all the support that we can get from our community out there is great, because there's no way we could fund an album without it. So,
yeah.
Thanks in advance.
Yeah, yeah.
Help us make music, everybody.
Let's get the details out there. So the Mercury, Saturday.
Right.
Probably
October 6th.
Doors will be 8:39.
Yeah, 9 is kind of classic.
Yeah.
Like we said, the Definite Lays are going to be playing. All my Beckys, whom I love. The wonderful Taylor Marshall, Devin, of course, and my buddy Mike Badger. And
I'm gonna do a real quick outfit change in between sets.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Little hidden information.
He just takes his shirt off.
And,
shut up.
And, of course, we've got some support from the very cool Grosvenor. Bunch of young dudes that are just making really cool music. Very stoked on that.
I got to say, Grosvenor, for the listeners out there, I know we've only played them once or twice on the show here.
You played them, though.
We've played
them.
That's
good.
They're amazing. We were late to the game. I'll say that. The stuff was out for a couple months, and I was like, it was sitting on my back burner. But I got it out there. But I get texts about it.
Yeah.
Like, why aren't you playing these guys more? What's going on? We're trying, folks. We're trying to play them more. I only get 2 hours a week. So,
right.
I think
but, yeah.
Their album's in production.
You guys are going to want to check them out. Yeah.
Yeah. They've. Well, shut up, Devin.
Yeah.
Shut up.
More, yeah.
Anyways,
more
yeah,
secrets.
They're great, and they've got like a sound for sure, and it's like it's really accessible to kind of anybody, but it doesn't lose its edge, you know. Like it's rocking, it's emotional, it's raw, it's good. I love it, and it's even better that they're you know young guys. Like I feel old now. All the good bands are like. Younger than me, and I love that. Just seeing, like, you know, especially with like the guys at Grind Central putting on their music fest and the label, kind of in lieu of Harvest King Records, which closed up shop, and seeing these young people making, producing, performing just wonderful music is very exciting.
For sure. Yeah. All right, we should probably listen to some of their music, hey.
Yeah.
I don't see why not.
Yeah.
Let's dial some in.
Dial some in. So while Cullen gets that dialed up.
Texted me too.
Devin's mom's texting everybody.
Yeah.
Shannon, text me too. I used
cool.
to
text the whole family for us, please. Get them on here.
All right. So I'm going to pass my celly over to you guys. Yeah.
Yep.
This is After the Party by Grosvenor. This is probably my favorite off of their EP, and I'm very excited to hear new music, to which they have admitted they will be playing tons of on Saturday.
Oh, man.
So definitely come by if you're a Grosvenor appreciator.
Not a show to miss. All right, here's some Grosvenor on 91.3 FM, CJTR, Regina Community Radio. Local...
heavy hitters.
Local heavy hitters. There we go. Local heavy hitters, Grosvenor, with After the Party. They're going to be supporting our guests... Ugly Again, Saturday night at the Mercury Cafe. You guys are going to want to head on down there around about 9 o'clock.
Only $10, guy.
$10, man.
$10. What a deal.
Steal.
For three bands?
For a bunch of ugly dudes.
Three bands,
One good-looking girl. Yeah, that's a good deal.
Big, beautiful boys.
That's like less than $3.35 a band.
Yo. That's quick
right?
maths.
Right?
She put it that way.
333.33333.
Silly not to come.
Yeah, for sure.
Exactly. This should be a good time, guys. When are you guys putting the EP out? The big question. Depends how much money you raise on Saturday.
Yeah, well, yes and no.
Yeah.
We're shooting for February. We're really hoping...
Thank you for saying February.
Oh, of course.
February just really gets under my skin.
Yeah. It's like ointment. Over and under the skin.
Go on.
So we're hoping to put the album out in February, as I was saying, just because that seems realistic to us, I guess.
Sit on it for a little bit, certainly drop a single in the new year.
Yeah,
tease it a little bit.
Yeah.
And that'll be another big old release party for sure.
Yes. Very cool.
TBA.
So I guess I better ask the next question then. Would you guys return when the EP's out and spin it with us?
We'd love to.
That would be wonderful.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Tremendous.
Cool, guys. Is anything else we haven't covered? I think we hit it all today.
Jeez.
That's some efficiency right there. You guys got any more songs to play?
I heard someone's birthday around here.
Oh yeah.
We did hear a song about that.
Mr. Navigator here is the ripe...
This is all hearsay, but...
Right. He's the ripe old age of 27.
Right on, brother.
No, he's much older than that. He's much older than that, but we'll say he's 27 because that's when all the rock stars die.
Whoa. you know,
it's going to be a good year, buddy.
Nirvana broke up, eh?
Why is that?
Kurt kept shooting his mouth.
Oh, that's a terrible joke.
All right, this one's for you, buddy.
All right, a special one for the Navigator from Ugly Again. Oh man, he's crying. Oh. He is emotionally moved by that. You guys, thank you so much. For those of you listening out there, if you couldn't hear it, every single dial in this studio was redlined.
Oh, we're redlining.
Even up on the rack, I've never seen that one redlined before.
Sick.
Everything was redlined. Well done.
Cool.
Oh, the name of the EP is also called Power Nap. I should mention
good
that.
Good call.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yes.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to ask yet. I figured that was in the future.
We are fans of power napping.
And I mean, when you're dealing with addictions and anxiety, sometimes you need a power nap. Yeah.
Actually, I was watching a Sask Music thing last night, and they were talking about the coffee power nap. So you chug a cup of coffee.
Then you sleep,
take
right?
20 minutes rest. When you wake up, it's like you're a completely new person.
Red hot coursing through the old veins.
That's a life hack.
Right? Yeah.
Dude. I never heard it.
Yeah.
It's supposed to work well for jet lag, too.
Mm.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for popping by the cockpit. Genuinely had a great time.
Awesome. Yes.
Thanks for packing all this gear into the studio.
Yes.
Beautiful. If you guys want to see what these guys packed into our studio today, head on and by our Facebook and Twitter page at The Cockpit Radio. Check it out. We're going to play one more track here by Riverside, I believe, unless you guys have another song to play for us. No? All right. So we're going to roll some new stuff by Riverside. The song's called Acid Rain. Make sure you guys swing on by the Mercury Saturday night, and let's get an Ugly Again single out, or EP out as soon as humanly possible.
Absolutely. Yeah, thanks. Thank you, too, for your support tonight, and thank everybody in advance for their support on Saturday. We love...
Oh, that Ugly Again are a great bunch of guys. We had a ton of fun with them. That's probably the most complete interview that we're going to put through on the show tonight. The next band coming up, though, was an absolute riot. We had a ton of fun. I will note in this one, though, there's a great gag that they do in the middle of it that, again, due to copyright, I'm going to bleep some of it out with a bird sound. I'm not going to bleep all of it because it's going to take away from the comedy, and hopefully Canadian fair use law is going to let me through on this one. But this was a ton of fun with Pop Vernac. They had a new EP out, and we're doing a show right away. And these guys are just funny and creative, and they were a ton of fun. It was also our most disastrous show, but it made it for a hilarious bit of radio. So let's take a listen to our show with Pop Vernac.
Well, we got a little skippy with the League of One there. I don't know what happened. We had expected to have more time here, so now I have to come up with something to say.
Whoa.
But you know what? Pop Vernac's here. How's it going, guys?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm really well. I've got a whole intro written for you guys. Should I read it?
Yeah.
Please.
All right. You guys ready?
No, but please.
I'm not ready either. Oh, and we also played some Clutch there about coming to Canada once they legalize it.
Oh. That happened yesterday.
Yeah, I know. So Clutch better
be... So are they here?
Clutch better be living here right now.
It's topical.
Very. In fact, they have newer music we wanted to play, but we were like, this is more topical.
Mark Emery will put them up on his couch.
Exactly. All right. I got an intro for you guys. Here we go. My first impression when I heard tonight's guests was that they reminded me of that frantic, raw energy I felt playing in a rock band when I was in high school, full of Jolt Cola. But Pop Vernac is much more than just an over-caffeinated prepubescent group of friends. Yes, they're much more than that. With a loose, expressive, and high-impact sound, Pop Vernac have been turning heads all over Regina with music that can't help but be catchy. They're here tonight to share their new EP, The Club Is Above Us, and tell us what they're up to. Welcome, guys, to the cockpit.
Thank you. Do you have that in writing?
I do.
I want to take that.
Yeah, I can.
That's
very
nice.
I can send it over to you, yeah.
That's great.
With credit. It'll be on the back of the LP.
Wow. Would you actually print
Oh, the LP. Okay, that's not out yet. All right. Okay.
All right, guys. Your bio describes you as a band who politely takes turns singing. So now, is that something that's there just to help massage some egos, like Sloan, or
oh, is there another reason? He's not with us right now tonight, so we won't talk about it. No.
So how does that arrangement come around where everybody's singing?
It happened pretty naturally. We just all had things we wanted to contribute lyrically, songwriting-wise. Everyone chips in.
It's easy to take time. You can take breaks in between. You don't have to sing every single song.
Right. Nice. Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I've been close to puking on stage a few times singing, so I'm glad it's not me every time.
Then you know you're doing it right.
For sure, for sure. I'm multitasking here, trying to fix the problems we've had earlier today. All right. I've got the single most cliche question you can ask a band, but I'm actually genuinely curious about this. Where's the name come from, Pop Pop Vernac?
It's from an obscure 1950... No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. We had a show, and we were cycling through names, and then that was the name we had when we had to play our show. So I want to keep cycling through names, but I don't think that's going to happen.
We'd have to go far back in the group convo, but yeah, there's probably like 200 in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Our buddy Dave, he doesn't have data on his phone, so he would get home from work every day, and it would be like 50 unread messages, and he didn't check any of them, of course.
No, just go with that last one you guys came up with.
The most recent, yeah, yeah. It's funny you talk about obscure old stuff. Who was it? Sing the Body Electric was here a few weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
And that's from some 1800s poem or something like that. Like, talk about obscure back in the days. Yeah. Well, guys, I think we should... Oh, I haven't fixed the...
You try.
Huh? Do you want to try playing a song? I want to play something off this new EP here away.
Sure. Oh, well, we brought a cassette player, actually. I don't know if you knew this, but of course you knew this. It's coming out on cassette tomorrow, new EP. And I think we'd be doing your listeners a disservice if we didn't give them that stunning cassette audio, you know, the high-quality, earthy tones that come with it.
We can play it off the cassette with one caveat. Does it have that bit when it's time to turn over where it goes like... that little tone?
Does it?
When it's reminds time to turn the page, you'll hear the chimes ring like this.
Well, I guess we're going to have to listen to the whole thing to find out.
Yeah.
Here we go. Are you ready? Okay.
Let's take a listen to what we got here.
Okay, here we go. Let's turn
it up.
What's
that play button, Maddie?
It's on radio. Turn on to tape.
Click.
And then click. Okay.
Clicking sound. Yeah. Oh.
Three for now, and then next song we'll do it. We'll do tape. We'll sort this out.
We got like a whole pile of tapes here. We'll sift through them.
I think we can figure that out.
So you don't get those kind of errors with cassette tape.
You really don't.
The cockpit remix.
The cockpit remix.
Those MP3s, they skip.
Sorry, guys. This USB stick is going to find the end of its life. There it goes, in the garbage.
Ooh.
All right.
I'll take that.
Pour one out.
The navigator's going to get it lined up for us again.
That was actually a really cool remix. Sorry to leave one, but I really appreciated that. I think
indeed.
It sounded cool.
Indeed.
It was a nice teaser.
Yeah.
It's like a never-ending roll. Drum roll.
Never. It's a song that never ends. You know?
Yeah. Oh, I know that one. I grew up with that song.
That's League of One? No. yeah.
Lamb of God, I think.
That's it.
Yeah. All right. Navigator, you lined up? All right. Let's give this another shot, this time without the... There, right off the brand new EP by Pop Pop Vernac is Afraid. We've got the guys in the studio with us here, 91.3 FM, CJTR, Regina Community Radio. This is the most chaotic show we've had so far. Like 15 minutes in and everything's falling apart.
Good. I love chaos.
How's the tape player? You guys get this thing?
I think we got the right tape in there.
Got it figured out now? Let's see what you guys
got. We have a massive pile of tapes here in the studio right now.
I've not seen this many tapes.
Wasn't smart of us.
I haven't seen this many tapes since 1994.
It's a little dodgy.
What happened in 1994?
I bought CDs. I got my first CD player.
Oh, so you just threw them. Okay.
They all went into a box, and they're still in that box.
What was your first CD that you got?
Oh, this is... No, I'm the one being interviewed. Okay.
It's been flipped.
Okay,
you don't have to tell us if it's embarrassing.
Well, the first one that I was given is embarrassing. It was like a Joe Diffie country thing that I won at the radio station in Weyburn. I don't know.
Cool.
It was terrible. And then, but the first one I bought was the Wayne's World soundtrack.
Nice. That's
Dreamweaver. Oh, baby.
Oh, man. That's Aerosmith. Awesome.
Yes. And, no, that was Wayne's World 2.
Party time.
Excellent.
Excellent. That's how it goes.
It had Bohemian Rhapsody on it. It was something else.
Oh, yeah.
Well, guys, we're going to do any tape stuff?
Can we play one of our songs?
Yeah,
now?
We play one of your songs.
All right, we got this sorted out. You want to press that play again, Maddie?
All right, I'm ready to go.
All right, this is Pop Pop Vernac.
Okay.
The way it was meant to be listened to. Cassette. This is my tape.
Is this a shower tape?
This is, no, well, we both karaoke, and we both shares our go-to. All right, sorry, just MP3.
All right, there is... Did you say this one's Breakdown?
Breakdown.
Yeah. Breakdown by Pop Pop Vernac.
Breakdown soon.
We've been given great labels, and I've come with terrible equipment. It's been a good night. Pop Vernac's here.
One day after legalization.
Well, yeah, what can I say?
What's legal now?
Oh, you can cross the street on Tuesdays in a northward direction.
Oh, finally.
Yeah.
It's legal.
No kidding, hey? It's like we don't have to hide behind it anymore. It's like...
Wait, what? I thought it was a street thing.
A street thing. Now it's a store thing.
Seriously, though, the street thing, never mind.
It's no fun anymore.
It's no fun anymore.
Yeah.
Jaywalking used to be cool.
Now jaywalking is so expensive because it has to be taxed.
Right.
It's just ridiculous.
I'm paying double. It's ridiculous.
It's unreal. So you guys just released your first EP back in December, right?
Yes.
So did you guys start work on this new one right away? Immediately afterwards?
Pretty much.
Sitting on this one for a long
time. And then
time.
We did another one right after that, too, that we haven't put out yet.
So there's still more to come.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Where did you guys record?
In our jam spot.
Underneath the basement of the Exchange.
Below the club.
Below the club. Hence, the club is above us. Also,
nice.
It's kind of like, never mind.
I suppose
not cool enough for the club.
Yeah.
I suppose that answers my next question almost, though. Like, it sounds like it was recorded live off the floor. You guys just set some mics up and let it rip, eh?
Just overdubbed vocals.
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't be able to like make them out at all if we just sang in the room. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Did you guys have any goals with this, or you just wanted to get some songs on tape?
Get it done.
Yeah, like start playing new stuff and record that, and then move on to new stuff again, and then some things will naturally stick around, you know.
Right.
Like, we can't not play that.
Yeah.
Hopefully that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not sick of anything yet.
So I guess I'm going to put this question in now, because while we were in the last track, Matt, you answered that your first CD.
Oh yes.
You mentioned was a wonderful one.
It was the Disney, they had CDs that came in Happy Meals, and they all had different themes. And the one I got was the friendship songs, with songs such as Hakuna Matata. And I think Toy Story came out that year, so they included You've Got a Friend in Me by Randy Newman. And yeah, I gave up on music. I was like, that's it. That's the best song ever. And so that's just the only CD I have now. Just that one.
Curtis, how about you? First CD.
Some Bon Jovi baloney. My parents were buying like a CD player for the house, our first CD player, and they just asked me to buy a CD that day, and I heard some song off that album playing in there, and I never listened to that album at all. The first album that stuck with me, Ace of Base.
Oh, yeah. I bought myself Ace of Base.
First grade birthday party.
Oh, I saw the sign.
Exactly. Wow. Just that song.
Just that
song. Pretty much.
Well, shall we listen to what the combination of Disney classics, Ace of Base, and Bon Jovi sounds like?
Yes.
All right.
See our influences.
Let's see the influences come through.
This is going to be like a swamp water thing.
Oh, the Navigators, I think he's planning on throwing a wrench in this. He's not going to play Pop Pop.
Oh, that's fine.
All right.
Pop Pop Vernac with Limited Option. Real opus there. That was a long one.
Yeah. 3 minutes.
Wow.
That was
I hope the listeners at home are awake still.
The stamina
it
takes.
Sorry, that's a long song. I sang that one.
We kind of wrote it all together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I had like a little, that little main riff. And then Dave and Steve came up with some stuff and we pieced it together, and then did some demos of it, and then gave the demos to Curtis, and Curtis like rearranged the song and wrote lyrics and did the vocals, and so it became like a new song all over.
Wow.
It's pretty great.
It's what a drummer has to do.
Yeah.
Resort to technology.
Keep it together. All right, what do you guys want to do next? Oh, I guess we got 4 minutes till commercial break. Matt, what happens when we miss commercial break?
You get kicked off.
That's right. So,
on the plane.
What can we do for 4 minutes? We got a Ramones song lined up here.
Yeah. Is it 4 minutes? Can you play that for our buddy, our bass player, our good old pal, Steve?
Stevie, you want to hear some Ramones?
I think he's saying, I can feel him saying yes.
All right. Let's check out some Ramones. We'll be back with Pop Pop for Knack after the break.
Like Nikki's Cafe and by listeners like you.
We're back in the cockpit with Pop Pop Vernac. They got a big show tomorrow night at O'Hanlon's, a CD release, EP release, and dance party. Going to be a good time. Is there a cover charge to get in?
It's always free, no cover, at O'Hanlon's Irish Pub. And I don't know who's DJing afterwards. Hopefully not any of us, because maybe, I don't know.
You could do it. You've done it.
We could do it. I've done it. I think, hopefully it's someone really hip and cool. That can know, that, you know, knows no what pressure. The kids are into. Get that dance floor bumping.
Indeed, indeed. You guys have another big show coming up that I want to talk about. Get all serious here. You guys have a big show at the Mercury, November 25th, with Jam Slayer and Midnight Gallows.
Oh, wait, who?
You guys are we? I didn't know.
I saw it on your Facebook page. Oh. I don't know. Oh, looked no, like it was a it was a fundraiser for something.
Oh, that was last year.
Was that last year?
Yeah.
Wow, you guys need to update your Facebook page. Well, then let's just skip that question.
Why did it come up? Weird.
I don't know. It was like the first thing that came up on your Facebook page.
That
was
probably something good going on that weekend.
That was our second show.
That was your second show. Well, tell us about it.
It was pretty great. Midnight Gallows was pretty new then, too. I think they'd only played like three or four, maybe two, three shows at that point in time. Mm-hmm. And they were really awesome. I like them a lot. They just played twice this month, so they probably won't play again this year, maybe once again this year. Mm-hmm. But they're really good. Jam Slayer.
Tight.
Sam Sayers, Jam Slayer. He's pretty good. He's got a bit of a King Cruel thing going on. And yeah, it was a good night. We raised... It was for Autism Resource Center? No, that was in O'Hanlon's.
No, it was
Rainbow Youth Center.
Rainbow Youth Center, yeah.
I think it was, we raised like $500. Maybe. Yeah.
Let's go with that. $1,000. We raised $1,000.
I was going to paint you guys as these great guys doing all this charitable work. Well, you did it already, so.
More to come. We'll do more.
Indeed, indeed.
We also had helium balloons that night. We had balloons full of helium.
We popped them.
That was fun.
It made for a really nice atmosphere. Nice aesthetic, but it took a while to clean up.
Yeah.
Yeah. The ones that you couldn't quite reach, they didn't have a ladder, so it was fun trying to get them down at the end
of
the night.
We had to stay there overnight until the helium ran out and the balloons came down.
We got Chris Plum's BB gun out from underneath the cash register and shot them down. No, I'm just kidding.
All right, should we listen to another track?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I think we got the...
The tape player working yet?
I'm going to try this one more time.
All right, here.
This has got to be the tape.
Did you blow on it?
Well, it was just the wrong tapes.
This is another tape. Yeah. It's a completely different
tape.
You can rely on tapes.
You can rely on cassettes. If you guys come to our show tomorrow night at O'Hanlon's Pub and buy one of these cassettes, they are not going to crap out on you.
Yeah, this one...
Guaranteed.
This one we're not going to sell because it was getting eaten, so we're just going to play it on the radio.
We got hungry.
Okay.
All right. Ready? Here we go.
Damn it! I got you, babe.
What is this?
I got you, babe.
Okay. MP3s for the rest of the night.
All right. We'll go back to the MP3s, which are doing no better than the tapes tonight. But let's take a listen. Here's some more. All right. There's Pop Pop Vernac with... Now, we'll see. This currently, the name of this one is Gear Love Letter.
Yeah.
By Pop Pop Vernac.
Gear.
All right. Let's circle back to an old question I asked about the production of the album, where you guys recorded and everything like that. Yeah. Sounds like you guys forgot to mention some important people.
Huge error on our part.
We recorded in the basement of the Exchange with Paul Bogdan from the Steves and Treebeard and other bands, I think. No?
Probably.
He's
probably
a few. Everywhere.
I'm blanking out right now. Yeah. But he did a great job. He's always really, really helpful, and he's a great fan of his music, and he's a fan of ours. And we got Rob White to help us out and do his expertise.
Yeah, he did the mastering on this one. He did the mixing on the first EP that we did. So this time we figured, we'll upgrade you. We'll give you a shot. Try mastering the tape.
He mastered it twice, once for digital, once for tape. And he mastered the other one for digital too, but not for tape.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, he does a good job. And he's awesome.
Shout out to Art on Fire.
Sure. Shout out to Art on Fire.
Indeed.
Yeah.
All right. Now, this is where I get into the, I don't know about silly questions, but like, maybe less like serious at least. So, and this actually fits in well because we've been talking about when we were kids. So if Pop Vernac were having a good old-fashioned sleepover, who's falling asleep first in the band?
Who's the sleepiest? Probably Dave. He's got a kid. He probably goes to bed pretty early most nights.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's responsible.
Yeah, he runs a cafe and he gets to get up real early and make food for people. And also he has a son and mm-hmm. he loves him to death.
Mm-hmm. Great dad. Great dad.
He's a great dad.
And then
I mean that sincerely.
Mm-hmm. You're a bit of a night owl, right?
Not anymore. No, I quit the night.
Okay. Well, I'd probably be last.
I have
I'm on winter schedule.
I'm doing classes. I have to get up at like 7 every day. And, oh, yeah. That's not that bad. I can still get to sleep in.
Yeah.
But I used to be a night owl.
So
I'm very good at that.
Maybe you, then Steve, then me. So Dave, Matt, Steve, Curtis. Yeah. That's the order.
All right. What movie are you guys watching in that sleepover?
Oh, man. We are totally watching Shine, the 1995. No. Maybe we're watching Shine or Rocky Horror Picture Show. Or Detroit Rock City.
I'll watch whatever you want to watch, man.
I actually don't have much of an attachment to any of those movies. They're just the movies that are coming to mind.
Just the first to come to mind.
Yeah. Maybe a superhero film. Movies. Like Superman 2.
Well, then I'm falling asleep first. Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. We aren't... I think we're all like independent movie buffs in some extent, but not... together.
Not as a group.
I think we would watch Too Many Cooks on repeat.
Too Many Cooks?
A lot of Adult Swim videos, probably. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe, I don't know.
Fail compilations?
Mm-hmm. On YouTube? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's something we didn't have when I was a kid. Sleepovers.
Oh, we're kids in this scenario.
Well, thinking back in the day, I mean, that's not something I would have done with my friends, but no, I probably would now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Back then it was America's Funniest Home Videos or whatever.
Oh, that's, yeah, exactly.
Same thing.
If you could binge that at any hour, you would.
All right. What do we got? Two tracks left? Three? Two or three? I don't know.
Definitely no more than two.
Yeah. Do you guys want to try the tape again, or should we stick with the MP3s?
No, let's stick to MP3s.
All right.
But seriously, if you come to O'Hanlon's Pub tomorrow and buy one of these high-quality cassettes, they will not give up on you. We just misplaced them.
I mean, the fine folks at duplication.ca
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
did a good job.
You've got a guarantee, probably.
I got these ones mixed up with my home tapes that we've dubbed from our last sleepover. And let me tell you, I'm very embarrassed.
We didn't watch any movies that night.
Well, I watched... What's the one with Cher and the guy with the weird head? It's her son.
Where she's a witch?
No, she's like... Never mind.
Oh. Flawless.
There's Loved You More by Pop Vernac. They're in the studio with us here tonight. If you guys want to hear more, head on down to O'Hanlon's tomorrow night.
Please, please.
Going to be a big EP release and a dance party. Should be a good time.
We're going to be releasing an EP. Two EPs, kind of.
Two, yeah, kind of.
One of them was digitally released previously. Yeah.
Now you can get it physically.
Yeah.
We can physically get it. And we might even have a copy of Mask, the 1985 American biographical drama film directed by Peter Bogdanovich, starring Cher, Eric Stoltz, and Sam Elliott.
Can you tell us more about that movie?
One can only dream.
No, that's it. It's a secret.
Okay.
The rest is a secret.
I'll look it up later.
All right. You guys aren't playing with anybody tomorrow night, no. But you guys are no strangers to the local music scene. Yeah. Who are some of your favorite bands to play with, to listen to from town? What are you guys liking in the Regina scene?
Trash Hawks, Venus Extraction.
I really like Surf Dads
mm-hmm.
and Homo Monstrous. It's probably one of my favorites.
Mechadroid.
Saw them a brand new band.
Yeah, they're great.
Yeah.
Two-piece.
Bass and drums.
Yeah, yeah.
Very good songwriting. Very good tone.
Bass and drums seems to be the thing around these
parts. Yeah, there's a lot. a lot.
Yeah, Ugly Again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Another favorite.
Who we
I have
had last week,
not seen them live yet, though. Because that was their first show that week, wasn't it? They played Aloha Festival before that. I believe, yeah. And so technically, it was their second show. But their first in-town show.
A big show, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm super excited to see them live.
Who are some other cool bands? We were talking about some good bands last night. Let's see, Herb and the Humans.
Ah, yeah. mm-hmm.
You know your own. Black Thunder. Unfazed.
Those guys are great.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of new bands. Because as I get older, I don't go out as much. And so I'm trying to think of new bands.
So many.
So many.
So many.
So many.
It's hard to keep up.
Yeah.
Bears and Hazenmore.
Oh, gotta love the Bears, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, the Moon Runners. Shout out to the Moon Runners. I mean, they're not from Regina.
I was
going to
say, they're from Swift Current. Yeah, come on now.
They come through.
Some Speedy Creakies.
Oh, I love those guys.
They're great.
Oh, the Jump Off.
The Jump Off.
Oh, yeah.
They've got an LP in the works, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And it should be really exciting. Long time coming.
With Rob White, who mastered the this EP that we're promoting here.
Oh,
cyclical.
Full circle. Full circle, yeah. And actually, Trash Hawks are going to be here next month, I think the 17th or something like that.
They're
coming by in a few weeks, so yeah.
Yeah, they're great.
They are.
I love Trash Hawks. Mm-hmm. They're really catchy. They got a show coming up. And also Beach Body.
We had them, 2 months ago? Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
Good guys.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
And there's a new band called The Won'ts that have only played at Swamp Fest.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they're going to ever play again because
one time.
They're super secretive. They're definitely playing again, but they're just going to be really...
Just keep building up the hype until it explodes and then they'll book another show.
Yeah. Like the special bar on Tony Hawk Pro Skater.
Yeah.
So, guys, what do you want to do next? Do you guys want to play one of yours? One of these requests you guys have dropped
on us? We got
some
requests.
Yeah.
There's a band playing at The Cure probably right now, and they are called Slow Spirit.
I don't know if we have that one lined up just yet. Can you get it?
You'd have to go to Bandcamp, I think.
Oh, okay. You know what? We'll line that one up next, but we do have Loosberg.
Oh, yeah?
Lined up right
now.
Yeah,
let's do that.
Do that one?
They're from Rotterdam in the Netherlands, and it's a nice, relaxing song for your Thursday night. Yeah.
Let's check it out.
Woo!
On 91.3 FM, CJTR, Regina Community Radio, there's some Loosberg with Nonfiction Writer. Hey, you know what, guys? I gotta do like station-y stuff. You guys wanna just comment while I read it?
Okay, yeah.
Sure.
Critique or just comment?
Just critique, comment, whatever comes to mind. So Regina Community Radio's got this new fundraiser we're doing. It's called Chase the Ace or Chase the Bass. It's every Sunday night at Revival.
Woo!
So how it's going to work, it's a classic Chase the Ace lottery, so with a twist being that if you win the jackpot, you also win a bass guitar.
What?
That's a pretty good deal.
Right?
Especially if you're a bass player.
It's the newest, coolest instrument.
I know, right? If you find a drummer, you've got a band.
Guitar is out.
Exactly.
Drum and bass.
Every Sunday, ticket sales are going to start at 7 o'clock at night. Cost $5 a ticket. Hey, if you want to see me, I'm going to be there this Sunday running the ticket table. The draw will be at 9:15. If your ticket's drawn, you win a portion of that pot, and you get a chance to pick a card from a deck. If you pick the Ace of Spades from that deck, the event is over, and you win the entire jackpot and that bass guitar. If you choose any other card, that card's removed from the deck, and that pot continues to grow as the weeks and months go on. So come try your luck down at Chase the Bass this Sunday night at Revival Music Room, 2224 Dudney Avenue, and stick around for some live entertainment afterwards. The pot this week is currently at $500.
Nice. This could change lives.
It could change lives.
This really could change, lives.
It could change lives. If you can win that bass.
Plus $500.
You're a bassist.
Think of the Rush songs you could learn.
Oh,
you can learn When Doves Cry on bass.
Flea.
Because there's bass in that song.
There's totally bass in that song.
Flea is basically out of a job at that point.
I mean, he's getting up there in age anyway.
Yeah.
Right?
So, California's made him soft.
It really has.
Oh, get some Saskatchewanian bassists out there doing the shibba-dum-ban, shibba-da-da.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah. That's how it goes.
For any of our listeners out there who want to learn more about Chase the Bass, head on over to our website, cjtr.ca. We've got Pop Pop Vernac in with us. We're listening to the new EP, The Club Is Above Us. Sounds good so far, guys.
Thank you.
I like it. I really do.
Thank you.
Genuinely feel.
I can tell. I can see his facial expressions, folks. He's
like I say. It really did remind me of like just that raw energy of being a young kid playing guitar and enjoying it. So
it's good.
It's
I think
great.
That's kind of what we're after.
Yeah.
We didn't know, but I think it is.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just raw and energetic and fun.
It's my favorite way I've heard it described yet.
Things are more nutritious when you eat them raw, except for meat. But, you know, vegetables, right?
I think if you condition yourself to eat raw meat.
I like sushi.
Then the benefits. Mm. And sushi, yeah, exactly.
Who doesn't like
sushi? Come on.
The people that don't like sushi, power to them. But most everyone else likes sushi.
I do not like sushi.
You don't?
I don't. Oh, my God. It's so gross.
Oh, my God.
But I wish I liked it.
Brutal truths.
Cool. I think it's cool.
Brutal truths.
It all comes out on community radio.
I know what I'm getting you for Christmas.
Live on air.
Live on air. Oh my God. There's a band looking for a drummer. And they're not us.
Wait, no, you guys are looking for a sushi loving drummer.
Yeah.
Damn.
It's okay.
All right, guys, you got the big show tomorrow night. Let's let the people know about it.
We're gonna play at O'Hanlon's at maybe 10 or 11 or maybe midnight.
Yeah.
I don't know. They like to have a dance party for about an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours before they have to stop serving drinks, which is at 2 o'clock. So usually they'll have the band play around 11:30, 12 o'clock at the latest. We have a short set, so we'll probably be playing a little later, maybe 11:30.
It's like two of these EPs, basically.
Right. Yeah. Plus some songs off
they're
the
short
new
songs.
Unreleased EP.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Couple.
Yeah.
Three.
Yeah.
Three off the
new. You have a good memory.
Yeah. Barely. Sometimes.
Sometimes. I don't remember how
half
much I
half the time when I'm on live radio, I have a good memory.
It should be fun. Half it should time. Be fun. I'm wondering who's going to DJ. Maybe it's going to be Chris Demas. Maybe it'll be Dagan Harding. Maybe
DJ
it'll,
Sonny?
Maybe Sonny.
Did last time?
Oh, so that's a
that
good idea.
Awesome.
Yeah. Anyways,
yeah.
It should be a fun time. Maybe Neil
yes, please come.
Lutz.
Also,
what about what's her name? DJ Office Secretary?
Oh, yeah. I've
Amber
never
Good?
Heard of her.
But well,
oh, okay. Yeah,
I don't
yeah.
know what
yeah.
her real name yeah. is.
Natural
sympathies.
Yeah. I actually haven't got to see a set for
She's me. My boss. I got to drop. I got to
no,
drop
no.
the name
She's
once in a while.
Dope.
DJ.
We should, yeah. When you were talking about like good locals, yeah, that's like a
There you go. Natural
for
sympathies.
Sure. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hell of a performance. Hell of a voice.
Yeah,
great
she played
tunes.
The Grind Central Fest.
Yeah.
It was like, for me, it was like one of the highlights of the whole night,
agree.
I think.
The stuff with the triangle, like teaching consent with like, I can't describe the whole thing, but yeah, she brought like someone up from the crowd and there was dinging of a triangle. That's all I can say.
I'm not going to try to recreate.
No.
Because my memory's bad. It was a really, really good performance, though.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
But yeah, tomorrow night, O'Hanlon's.
All right. Sounds good. Guys, let's listen to one more of the songs off of... Do we have... No, we have two more, so
two
we decided.
More.
So let's listen to this one. We'll go to commercial. We'll come back and finish up.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sounds good.
All right.
Yeah.
I can't wait at all to get Pop Vernac back into the studio, chat with them again on the cockpit, hopefully have a less disastrous night. I wonder what kind of shindigs we can get up to again. Look forward to that in the future, though. We've got another EP coming out, so we're hoping that's going to be a good one. My next guest here was, this was his second time in the cockpit. He'd been by a couple years ago, and we were super happy to have him in again. Brian is a Chapman stick player, and if you guys don't know what a Chapman stick is, you need to go hit up Google and find out what a Chapman stick is. It's a beautiful instrument. It sounds amazing. Again, this one's where I really wish we weren't stuck with copyright law, because you gotta listen to his stuff. If you guys want to hear what a Chapman stick sounds like, hear what Brian sounds like, make sure you guys head over to his Bandcamp page, Brian Baggett, chapmanstick.bandcamp.com, or, well, you know what? As you'll hear in the interview, maybe Brian doesn't want you to do this, but I encourage you to head on over to Spotify or Apple Music, whatever you guys use for your streaming, and check out his music there. It's beautiful stuff, absolutely gorgeous, and I think it'll change your life knowing what a Chapman stick is. So let's take a listen to our interview with Brian.
All right, folks. I've never been accused of being much of a wordsmith, but I do enjoy playing with words a little bit. Rhythm and rhyme are great ways to make language sound great, make the words sound amazing. But my favorite way to dance with words is through alliteration. Tonight's guest gives me a whack at waltzing with words. So here's my attempt here. Are we ready? Here we go. Bringing beautiful beats, bars, and ballads to brighten bland, boring brains is it is the bliss of these brothers and to the benefit of believers that we bow and bring in the brilliant bard, Brian Baggett. Welcome to the show.
That was beautiful. Wow, thanks. I've never had an introduction in alliteration. Well,
welcome to the show. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, well, yeah, no, thanks for having me back. I really appreciate it. And thanks for what you guys do. I'm kind of a community radio junkie, and I'm a big fan of your show. So
thank you so much. Thanks. Well, Brian, we're here to celebrate the release of your brand new album today.
Yeah, thanks. This is it. This is the release day. Bookmarks officially launched to the universe today, October 25th. So you have no idea the hurdles I jumped and the mountains I climbed to get to this moment right here to sit in this chair and talk to you.
Well, we're glad you did, and I got plenty of questions to ask about some of that.
Okay.
But you're holding that Chapman stick.
Hey.
And if I know a musician, he wants to play his instrument.
Well,
got a tune for us to start us out?
I do. This is actually the first tune on the album, so we'll play it live. This is titled We're Where We Were.
We're Where We Were. Now, Brian, I'm glad you started with that one, not only because it's the first song on the album, but as we discussed, you called in a couple months ago when you released that song as your lead single off the album.
Yes.
That got its debut right here in the cockpit a couple years ago now, didn't it?
I think I played it a couple of years ago. I know I played two songs. I played one from that album back then, and I think that was, I'm pretty sure. I usually keep pretty accurate records of set lists, but since there's no set list for this, it's like, yeah, I think I did. It would have been a new song then, so... Yes.
So take us through the path from here in the cockpit 2 years ago to full circle back here. Where'd you record the album?
Well, I recorded it right here in Regina with Orion Paradis. He's the engineer and owner-operator of Soul Sound here in Regina. Great to work with, easy to work with. I recorded there, and it's funny. I actually started this album, Bookmarks, simultaneously with my previous album, First Contact. But due to finances, life circumstances, I ditched this one. This was to be the cover song album, whereas First Contact was to be the original. So I finished First Contact and released it, and then I sort of started over. And so it was 2 years ago today, October 25th, 2016, for my first of two sessions. And the second session was October 25th, 2017, by pure coincidence. So, because I was with Orion, and he kept saying, yeah, I'm losing tracks in the files. I keep finding the same date on here. I don't know what the deal is. And so we realized, it was a year ago. So,
right.
So that's just why I decided to release it on this day when it finally came.
Yeah.
I was trying to release it last spring, but anyway. So there's the path from the last 2 years.
Right. The other thing I wanted to ask about with the album is the beautiful cover art on it. Who did you have do that?
Yes. Well, there's a couple artists. It was originally a photograph of me taken by a Coppell Valley photographer named Vera Saltzman. She's a friend of mine, and she's got ties to the Slate Gallery. She does a lot of... I know she's done a show there, maybe two. I don't know, but quite a renowned photographer. So that's her photograph. But then I hired local artist Quinn C. Grieg. I think that's how you say her last name, Grieg or Greg. She's a server at Bushwhacker, where I've performed at a lot. And so I met her, and I'm a fan of her style. I don't know. I hate to label it because I don't have a label for it, but it just kind of reminds me of like a graphic novel, coloring book kind of style. So she took this photograph and created that with it. And I'm a big fan of her work. So
does it bother you that it's backwards?
Backwards?
Well, looking at it here, you're carrying your Chapman stick on your left shoulder, but in the picture, it's on your right.
Hey, that was Vera's composition. She told me, here, now hold this, now do this, now stare this way, and look like Gandalf. No, just kidding. I call that my Gandalf photo, so back when I had a full beard. So
yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful album cover.
Thanks.
Kudos to those involved. Where should we go to next? Let's talk about collaborating with people. You started your life as a bass player, obviously playing in bands. Most bass players do.
Yeah.
Do you miss collaborating with others? Do you miss playing in a band, or do you like having the solo work?
I do. Well, first of all, to go backwards even further, I was originally a French horn player, so I always played with lots of people in orchestras and bands and whatnot. And then, yeah, as a bass player, it allowed the fun and excitement and garage bands and guys and getting together. And yeah, absolutely, I miss it. Life has just kind of not allowed me to pursue that up until recently. I'm kind of starting to look into it again, but yeah, I miss it. There's just something, an energy there, as well as... you know, when you get one person together with another person, they don't create two things. It's almost like they create three or more. There's just a, what do people call that, synergy or something.
Yeah.
So you imagine getting a group of four people together, and who knows what comes up. So, and I really miss writing as for an ensemble. The last band I played with was a local folk act, and we were really small and unknown, but we played a lot of nonprofit gigs and around. GH Summit was their name, and led by a local school band teacher, and it was amazing. He led with guitar, and he also played trombone, and I think he played clarinet on a song and other stringed instruments. So, you know, there's nothing we couldn't do. We were a folk act, but we also played jazz tunes and, you know, whatever. So I miss that arranging and writing for multiple people. Yeah, so someday it's coming again.
All right, so we need a song in order to set up this next question here. So this is the last track off your new album.
Okay.
I didn't ask you to practice it, so I'm not going to ask you to
okay
to pull it out right now. But Classical Gas is the tune. It's a classic. Most people should know it.
Awesome.
But we're going to roll the CD, and then I got we'll... Classical Gas, as performed by Brian Baggett, our guest in the cockpit tonight. Brian, you had some accolades for that song. What, just in the past week here?
Yeah, I in getting the rights to, you know, when you record someone else's music, you have to get legal rights to do so. And normally you go through a third party, which is normally what I do, but I couldn't find Classical Gas through the Canadian sites. And for some reason, I couldn't find it at the moment. So I went directly to Mason Williams. He's got a website set up called classicalgas.com. I went to that little email form. And so I filled it out, never heard back. Filled it out again, like, 2 weeks later, didn't hear back. You know, this is my deadline's coming up. And it was this close, like, literally, for not having on the album at all. But then I finally found it through a third site, so I got it. And then his legal representative suddenly emails me on the day of my deadline. He's like, oh, hey, would you like to write this? Like, no, thanks, already got it. And she says, well, could you send us an MP3 of it anyway? I'm going to send it on to Mason. I'm like, oh, okay. Sure. I'm like, I'm a little nervous. Yeah. Send an and I never heard back. So... this week I released a video for it, so I sent the video to her. Hey, I didn't know if he'd want to see this as well. And she's like, oh, yeah, I forgot to tell you. He wrote back. And so it's something about, you know, great version. Thanks for, you know, the exploring the music or, you know, I don't know. I heard from Mason Williams.
It's gotta
I feel so honored.
It's got to feel great. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, Brian, we want to get one more song out of you. Here, okay. But we got to take a break, pay some bills. So we're gonna do that.
Pay the bills.
Gotta pay the bills. Behind Blue Eyes, as performed by Brian Baggett, originally by The Who. Thank you so much for playing that one. Oh, that one excited me. I woke up this morning and was like, ooh, I can't wait to hear this one live. It's awesome, man.
Thanks. I love that song, yeah.
So let's... since we're talking about a song from the 70s, you've been I've been kind of following your journey over the last few months, getting the album out and getting it released. You talk a lot about kind of the generation today not wanting to have CDs and how they want their music streamed and stuff like that.
Because I'm an old man.
Yeah, old just, man. And just yeah,
kids
yeah.
These days, get back to CDs. That's the way it was.
But yeah, I'd like to talk about that difference in the generations in how we consume music. What do you think that they're missing by not having a tangible album in front of them?
I'm still putting together that, I don't want to call it an argument or debate. I hate debating. You're not going to change anybody's heart with a debate. But I'm still putting that together in my head. But there's something about... some art form that's going to live beyond you when it's in a physical means. That doesn't mean that it can't live on in a computer forever, but if it's a bunch of ones and zeros that you downloaded and you go out and get hit by a bus, I mean, like, where's that collection going to go? Well, it's just going to get deleted and erased. And if you recorded it and released it, I mean, is it going to live forever? Well, maybe. I'm sure somehow it'll end up on some worldwide brain implant web in 100 years from now or something. But when it's on a physical product, it's like a book. I mean, it's going to be somewhere, and whoever owns this library is going to pass away, and those books will go somewhere. Someone's going to read it, even if it gets shoved in a basement for 200 years. I mean, someone's going to find it, read it, and find this work by this author or this recording by whoever, as long as there's a means of playing it, you know. But and one of the things that slapped me, besides, okay, I'm producing a new CD, and is anyone going to buy it? And, you know, I'm being a gripey old man here. Besides, I have my own CD library in my wood shop, and I listen to them daily, all the time, and I listen to them from beginning to end. Which is one of my gripes about the kids these days. They just want a song. They just want to punch a button, and if they don't like it in 10 seconds, go to the next cat video. And that's all they, you know, just want instant gratification. Right. But, I mean, we're all like that. It's not kids. I mean, we've all, every generation has had that. But the thing that hit me was, okay, my family has a little library out in front of our house, you know, those little libraries. It was my wife's idea. She's... And I was, I'm the carpenter, so guess who gets to build it? Me. Right. But, which was fun. I enjoyed doing it. I built it out of these old windows that I took out of a house in Regina when I was doing window installs years ago. But I was cynical about it. I thought, oh, I'm going to be cleaning up broken glass every morning. And amazingly, I haven't had any vandalism. We haven't had any vandalism. People have used it.
Right.
And people donate to it all the time. And someone donated a stash of CDs one day. And, I just remember, you know, there were like 20 of them. They obviously bought them at like the Regina Public Library sale for a quarter each or something, and then decided they didn't want them order. And I mean, so I listened to every one of them, and three of them I kept. I mean, I just love, and it's like, you know, who knew? Like this guy, one of them was like this reggae album from an artist in the 70s that I never heard of because I'm not deep into reggae, but I know the big names, and so I Google him up, and you know, he was kind of like this sort of minor hit guy, and you know, and it's just this work that's just sitting on a box on, you know, my street in Fort Capel, and I got to discover it. But would I've ever found it on someone's hard drive? No. I mean, I don't know. That argument or that speech still isn't refined, but I'm kind of getting there. I think,
but
I don't know.
I think I know where you're coming from, and I remember asking my daughter this question when she was about 14, and it was, how do you share your music with your friends? We used to make mixtapes and trade them with each other. And I still have mixtapes kicking around of music I never, quote-unquote, owned. But you learned about that band and where you wouldn't otherwise have shared it that way. So
yeah, and it's almost like a business card. I mean, it's just passed around and
Anything you think you're missing by not listening to streamed music?
Well, I'm diving into it because as of today, actually it was 2 weeks ago, First Contact was put on streaming. And then this one was released today, Bookmarks. So... my kids listen to Spotify all the time, and I still don't get it. And I don't know if I'm not doing it right. I feel like, oh, how do you fiddle with this? But you can't listen to the album in the order that it was intended to be.
Right.
And that's just beyond me. I mean, like, no, works of art, like a novel, you wouldn't skip chapters. I mean, you start at the beginning, you go to the end. That's how I recorded my albums. There's a definite beginning on purpose, and there's a journey to the end. Especially First Contact, the original there, but I mean, Bookmarks, even though it's a collection of other people's songs with a couple of originals, I mean, there's an order. In fact, on Bookmarks, there's a Pat Metheny, Lyle Mays tune, it's the longest title, As Wichita Falls, So Falls Wichita Falls, that serves as an introduction to my song titled Listening and Waiting. In fact, I even recorded them back-to-back in one take. When we were mastering it, and then we had the track number. Make sure the track number starts right here, you know. That's where my song starts. But, I mean, when it's out of order, then it's out of context and it makes sense. Yeah. You know, you can play it and it still sounds, but, like, one of them almost doesn't sound like it has an ending. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
There's an order. I just like the grand journey from beginning to end. So, that's how I listen to music. And I would encourage others to listen to it. But, I mean, listening to songs on Spotify is great, too, because I'm finding stuff. I'm starting to get into it. I'm starting to find stuff that I haven't heard in years. I was like, oh, yeah. That old Steve Howe album from 1979, I can't find that anywhere. Hey, I can hear it here, but I can't figure out what order it was in. I'll learn later.
Yeah. Well, we can go down the wormhole of what's awful about Spotify.
Oh, okay.
But I don't think we should.
I didn't open any boxes there.
We'll be here all night. We'll be here all night. But what you do have is a CD release coming up next week.
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, November 8th is the first of three shows, and that's here in Regina. November 8th is at the Creative City Center. It's my first time to play there. I'm pretty excited. It's a double bill. I'm sharing it with Brody Moniker, and I'm a big fan of his. I met him briefly one time years ago. I was the opening act at a backyard private party for Jeffrey Straker, singer-songwriter, and yeah. Brody was accompanying him. So I remember knowing his name because he seemed to be everyone's go-to guitarist and just a creative genius, I think he is. I mean, he's done everything, and I love his album. I'm a huge fan of this album he put out about a year ago. Yeah. So I figured, I'm putting my own show together. I'm going to get the guys that I respect. Hey, are you available? So yeah, he agreed to do it. So he's coming. So we're each playing a full set and see what happens.
Sounds good. When do the doors open for the show?
Oh, I know the show starts at 8, so I think doors are at 7 or 7:30. Okay. Yeah, 7:30. Don't quote me on the 7 part. I think it's that early, but maybe not.
Three nickels to get in, or what's the...
In advance, it's $10 plus tax, and then at the door, it's $15 plus tax, so...
I think you had a link on your on the Facebook event page for the tickets and everything like that. So
I do, yeah. And it's on the Creative City Center page. Their event, yeah.
Yeah, so cool. I think we should play a little bit of Brody.
Oh, good.
And while we do that, I'm going to go grab this other Chapman stick in the green room, and we'll get ourselves set up. So here is a little bit of Brody Moniker. We've got the song Push Pull DJ lined up, and when we come back...
Push Play.
I
knew that. Okay.
Yeah, I knew that.
Push Play DJ.
Push Play DJ. That's right. Yeah. Anyway, when Push Play DJ is over, we'll be back with the world's first live on air Chapman stick lesson.
Are we on?
All right. There's some Push Play DJ by Brody Moniker. We're now doing a lesson.
This is a lesson. You're my second stick student ever, but the first one in about almost 20 years, so I've had a lot of bass students over the years. So basically, the stick, instead of one hand choosing the pitch, like on your bass where you're fretting it,
right,
and the other hand chooses the rhythm, you're doing the pitch and the rhythm on one hand. So if you can do that with one hand, then you can do it with two hands. So let's get started with your left hand. What is your music background again? What do you play?
Rock, a little bit of jazz.
And what instrument?
Bass guitar.
Okay, bass guitar. Good, because I have a bass background, so I can go at you at that angle.
Talk
so
let's the start. Same language, yeah.
So if you think of this almost as two instruments in one, it is one instrument, but it's divided in two. So if you notice the side closest to your face, do the middle is the bass strings, and then they are tuned in descending fifths, which is opposite of your bass guitar, but they're still fingered the same. We'll learn that in a second. Okay, so the next side is, say, the guitar side of the melody. Okay. So we'll start on the bass side, which is your left hand. Okay, let's pick that note right there. Just hold it. Get a good tone. Okay, so there's one finger. So to alternate first and second, go... Now, the back of the instrument's got... you wear the stick. There's a belt hook on the back of it and then a strap that goes over your head and neck, so you don't have to hold it while you play. Your hands are free to play.
Right.
So you're wearing it. I got the pilot set up here beforehand. Want to explain that to the listeners. So then on the back of the instrument, you got these bevels that your thumb can act like an anchor or pivot while your hand moves around. That's the basic gist. So that hand, the left hand's on that side. The right hand's over here. Okay. So let's just alternate that note real quick. Okay, now let's alternate from that note on the same fret. Yeah, like it's not awkward for you because you have a bass background. So it's on the same string. Yeah, so you're not fumbling around because you know where your fingers go. Good. So now let's go down here. Let's just play this note. It's two frets lower or higher in pitch than this dot on the lowest pitch string. So just get that because we're going to learn a song before we're done today. Okay? So just get used to that. Now play with your third finger right there. So that's your first note. Here's your next note on this string. Yeah, so that's real comfortable. Yep. 1-4-1. So get those notes back and forth. Dun, 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 dun. Okay, next. So just alternate. 1-4-5-4. And try to use your third finger here. It might be a little more comfortable. Okay, so now let's work in the other hand. So play this bass note, the first one, and you're going to play here. This is a two-note melody chord that's above that fret dot, like right.
Okay, yep. Okay.
So you're playing like with this finger and this finger. See how that fits? So just go do, sound them together. So now when you go to this note here, go. So instead of that, it's just those two strings on that fret. Yeah. So learn to alternate those two again. Right. So you're going from here.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Now the third note and last chord is this right here. So you just shift this hand up. And then go back down to there. Okay, so here we go, ready? First chord. Nope. Yeah, don't get lost. Right here on, it's a, if you want to know pitches, that's a B.
B, okay.
So it's
right
here.
Go next. Okay.
And there's the next one, and then there's the third one.
Gotcha.
Okay, got that pattern? Yep. So let's try it. Let's, ready, go here. Next chord. Next chord. Back down. Try it again, and we'll do our song, right? Keep going. You ain't doing it. You make my heart sing. You make everything groovy. Wild thing, say it.
I think I love
you. Yeah.
But I wanna know for sure.
I forgot what comes after that. Something on. You're playing the stick now. 2, 3, 4. You move me. Ready, go. Yeah, wild thing. Got it? I'm gonna let you do it by yourself. Go.
Well, that was a pretty good start, though. Yeah. You did. But you see the gist? You see how the right hand, the left hand can move? And then when you get more dexterity like a piano player, you can do one thing with one hand, do a completely different thing with another. So
yeah,
that's kind of the gist behind it. I don't know. Really, as a bass player, I just learned the bass side, just learned where the notes were,
right?
Played bass lines. And when I got comfortable, I would play like maybe a two-chord note or a two-note chord like we just did right there. And eventually would work kind of a rhythm guitar part with my bass line. Just a real simple, nothing fancy. And that's how I just went from there, and that's how I did. So
beautiful, man.
Does that help? Any other recital pieces you want to give?
I was also thinking that could be Louie Louie, right?
Okay, sing it. Ready? Yeah! Ah, Louie Louie! Oh man, there's a reason I'm an instrumental act and I don't sing, okay?
Oh, Brian, that was amazing. Thank you so much. I'm trying to think if there's anything
thank
else
you
we can tell the listeners about the stick, though. It's a beautiful instrument, really, in the right hands. Not my hands.
Well, there's no one type of music that embraces it. Now, I'll admit, prog rock has just, you know, welcomed it with open arms. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, there's rock. I know guys in country that do it. There's a woman in Edmonton who's like a singer-songwriter and does her songs accompanying her poetry with her with the Chapman Stick. I don't know. It's really just your imagination. What do you want to do?
Right.
So that's about all I can give you.
Yeah.
There's no right or wrong. You can play bass lines in a band. You can play guitar lines in a band. You can do the keyboard role. You can invent a whole new role. People are still... It's been out for 40... Almost 50 years. No, 45? Yeah, 1974. It's about 45 years. And there's just not one, you know, slot that it fits in. So.
Yeah, yeah. I also find it a compelling instrument in that it's an electric instrument. So, like, you've got a set of effects pedals here. Making it even more interesting. So you got some delay and
Some
other things.
I'm pretty elementary with effects. I might not be the best guy. I'm actually looking forward to Brody's show. He seems to be a master with that. But I keep a pretty clean bass line, and then I do something with the higher end, and you can do crazy distorted guitar, or I'm using effects or like delays and looping and whatnot.
Right.
Pretty clean for now, but the sky's the limit, whatever you choose to do.
Sounds great. Well, Brian, let's play one more song off the album.
Okay.
Oh, we're going to do a quick selfie picture.
Hey.
Hey.
We're live on the air with a picture.
What do you want to hear off the album? I mean, you've heard it to death probably at this point, but what's special for you?
Special? I'm partial to, I combine Paul Simon's America with My Favorite Things. It's more of a jazz tune. I don't know if you like that kind of thing.
Yeah, I heard you play this out on the out downtown on Scar Street this summer.
Oh yeah,
I heard you play this track. And
that's right, Regina Jazz Festival.
I thought it was beautiful.
I'm sitting there playing, and I finish the song and look up, and there's the Pilot and Navigator on Scar Street. Hey, thanks for coming.
We were enjoying that. So yeah, let's take a listen to that, Brian. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
And everybody,
It's a song called.
I'm sorry. It's number two.
Number two.
America, My Favorite Things.
And, everybody head on down to the Creative City Center next Thursday night.
November 8th. That's like two weeks from now?
Or two weeks from now. Yeah. And
I don't know what day it is.
Yeah.
The 25th. It's album release day.
And go from there.
November 8th. Thank you.
You bet.
My guests tonight speak the same language as folks from around these parts. Hailing from rural British Columbia, the Wild take a gritty authenticity of the Delta Blues, supercharge it with some reckless attitude of punk rock, and roll it all up in a Southern Rock cigarette and light it off with the back end of a firework that they got from none of your goddamn business. They're going to be in Town tomorrow night at Casino Regina at the sold-out Steel Panther show. If you didn't get tickets, you're out of luck, but for now, we have frontman of the Wild on the horn. Welcome, Dylan Villain, to the cockpit. How's it going, man?
Doing well, man. That was a hell of an intro, man. I gotta take you on the road.
Thanks, man. Thanks. I mentioned your rural roots in the intro. Do you guys think that your shows are better received in rural areas like Regina, or where we're maybe more in tune with pickup trucks and shotguns, or do you get better receptions in places like Toronto or Vancouver where fly fishing is a novelty?
Yeah, it's a cool thing that way for sure. I think there's something to be said about not just small towns, but the sort of that same mentality that exists within a small town.
Right.
And I find that, you know, places like Regina or, you know, even Edmonton or Calgary, which are big cities, but there's a different vibe in the West in general, and then opposed to, you know, the further you go. And not to say that our shows, you know, Toronto, Montreal, and Ottawa and all that aren't great and crazy, but something in the West that even bands from the East will tell you that there's just a vibe, there's an energy, there's a recklessness, there's just a lack of giving a shit in general.
Right.
And personally, I love that. I love that because that's how I've grown up. That's how I've lived my life and chosen to continue to live my life. And I think that it's healthy to a certain extent. Really, it is.
Right.
There's a fine line that you can't go over too far one way or the other. However, people in general, need to just let go sometimes. And I'm happy to be providing the soundtrack to that.
Very cool. That's a great job to have, make people cut loose a little bit.
Yeah.
So you guys' home base is in Kelowna, and CJTR is a community radio station, so we like to shine a spotlight on your community a little bit, Kelowna. What are some of your favorite bands coming out of Kelowna right now?
Oh, you know, it's a different time right now in Kelowna where I remember when we first, like, I'm not from here originally, but I've lived here almost 15 years.
Right.
So, you know, long enough. But when I first came here and we were first playing in our bands and around town, there was a lot of bands around town. There really was. And you could play two nights, like Friday and Saturday or Wednesday, you know, Wednesdays and Thursdays were big nights back then. You could do Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Every week there would be a show
right.
in a different venue in town. And it kind of changed at some point, and we talked about it frequently, kind of when we're just, you know, talking amongst the dudes that have been playing in this city for a long time. And don't really know why there's less bands than there once was, but it's always kind of been a cool pocket for lots of different styles of music. But in terms of bands coming up, Hired Guns are a really cool band out of Kelowna. Also great friends of ours, and our stage manager is in the band, so
nice.
You know, I gotta kind of give it up to him.
For sure.
On top of that, one of my, you know, really close friends, two of them are in this duo, best name in rock and roll, they're called Frig Off, and they're just awesome, bluesy, just so gritty and dirty, I love them. Great band. There's a cool band, some of my friends called Bloom. They're like a sort of heavier thing with my friend Jenna is the singer, and she's a really cool singer. And, I don't know, man. There's, like I said, there's not a ton of bands coming up doing it in Kelowna like there once was, but there is a lot of cool people, a lot of good musicians from here.
It sounds awesome. It's a good place for me to get started, check out a couple new bands at least, so sounds
yeah,
good.
Yeah, sure.
All right, one more about Kelowna, then I'll let you go here. But where's the best place in town to grab a pizza in Kelowna?
Oh, good question. You got to go to Dunenzi's. Dunenzi's on Ellis. They have a few locations, but Dunenzi's on Ellis is the original location. And it is now even cooler than it ever was. Before it was, man, you should have seen it. It was it's doubled in size now, but it was half the size that it currently is. Actually, less than half. And it was just like this little, like, cutout of the chunk of a building that you'd walk into, and they just serve slices, and they're massive slices, but it's just killer pizza.
Nice.
And you know, if you know anything about our band, we are somewhat of grease wheel aficionados, so you know, I've been around the world playing rock and roll and eating pizza, so you could take that to the bank. This is good pizza.
Fantastic.
But this place now is even cooler because it's now doubled in size. There's a bar in it, so they serve beers now. And in around the corner of the bar, they got this little mini stage set up. So they'll have they'll have music in there, live music in there. And it's not like they're going to throw like a crazy punk rock party, you know, with a big pit or anything like that. But the fact that they'll have people come in, play music, and you can get a slice and a pint for like next to nothing, and it's killer. Killer atmosphere. It's totally like, they might not have punk rock bands in Dunedin's, but the vibe is totally punk rock, and it's a killer spot. You got to check it out if you're in Kelowna.
I was gonna say, it sounds like a first stop next time I'm in Kelowna. So
yeah, man, do it up.
Sounds awesome, man. Well, it's about all the time we've got tonight. Thanks, Dylan, for taking a few minutes to chat with us.
Our last interview of October in the Cockpit was one that's sort of a sweet and sour at the same time. Sweet in that it was my biggest interview to date. I interviewed John Humphrey, the drummer from Seether, a huge band in the alternative rock scene. Not one that I followed very closely, but it's one that you knew a bunch of their songs because it just was there on the radio. So I was really happy to get this interview. I was excited for it. I booked it for 3 o'clock on a Thursday afternoon. Was really excited to go take my break off from work, go get the interview in. So I went to an empty meeting room,
relaxed, got set up, went to do the interview, and no call came. And no call, and no call, and no call. So finally, I just decided, well, I'm going to go back to work. So I went back to work and continued on my job day, getting it done, as it were. And the call came at 4 o'clock. Actually, it was 3:45. And, little bit of a time zone difference confusion. So we got it figured out. John from the band gave me a call. I was in a rush, of course, because I was stuck at work. And so I didn't quite get the interview as good as I could have. It's maybe not my best work, but I think I asked the right questions, and I think we had a good time with it. Let's take a listen to it. It was, not the worst interview in the world. Here's John Humphrey from Seether.
You guys are going to be in town in Regina next week on Halloween. Wondering what maybe some of your favorite parts of Halloween are, or any music come to mind when you guys think of Halloween.
Oh, that's a good question, man. We've had some great shows in the past. We've been known to dress up from time to time. I'm a kind of a sort of an Elvis fan, and I've done an Elvis suit with like a ridiculously oversized wig before. That was kind of fun. We've done some different stuff, but we haven't really talked about it as of yet, if the band's going to dress up this time or if we just go out as ourselves or what. But we usually celebrate the date, and we like to have a little fun too.
Cool. Sean from the band's often cited Nirvana as a blueprint for the band, but you guys have been together now for over 20 years, and there's got to be bands out there that are influenced by what you guys have achieved. What's it like to look back and see people inspired by what you're doing?
Yeah, man. I mean, I always say, first and foremost, I feel very fortunate, to be a band, to still be doing this after all this time. I've been with the band now over 15 years, and it's just incredible. And the only album that I'm not on is Disclaimer, the first album, and I picked up that album to learn all the music from it in preparation for the audition that I did originally. And listening to that album, I really genuinely fell in love with the band, with the music, and I know Sean was initially influenced a lot by early 90s, the grunge movement and Nirvana, and we've covered Nirvana songs in the past. But I think Seether's really, over time, has kind of come into its own. And I think stylistically, there's still elements there of that. But I think musically, Seether really isn't anything like Nirvana, and is definitely, kind of come into its own, which, I take pride in. I think each album has, has developed and, elevated our game with each one. And, I'm really proud of where the band is right now.
Yeah, for sure. In fact, I was kind of surprised when I first read that, because I was like, oh, they don't sound like they're fun anymore.
Right.
Yeah. You guys have been touring with grunge greats Stone Temple Pilots for the last little while here. What's it like been like to share a stage with them?
Amazing, man. We're huge fans, and total respect for that band. And we did our first show night before last, and I quickly showered up and ran right out to watch their entire set. And it's an honor, man. I mean, I have great respect for those guys, and being myself a musician for a long time in the 90s, when they ruled the airwaves, man, they were the band. We've since, it was a dream of mine to work with a producer that produced a lot of their albums, Brendan O'Brien, which Seether has worked with on a couple of albums. And it was an honor to work with him because of his work he had done with STP. So have a lot of respect for those guys. And it's great to be on tour with a band that, after you're done playing, man, you want to race out there and catch their set, because they're great at what they do. And they're a good band, and it's a hit set list, man. They've got a lot of great songs, and it's an honor to be touring with them.
Very good. Well, we're just about out of time here. Don't want to take all your time up. But you guys will be in town next week, Wednesday night on Halloween at the Brandt Center with Stone Temple Pilots and Default. Still got tickets available online.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the Cockpit Air Chatter Podcast. This month's guests have been Brian Baggett, Seether, Pop Pop Vernac, The Wild, and Ugly Again. The Cockpit was created, curated, written, performed, and produced by Andrew and Jeremy Pilon. If you guys want to learn more about The Cockpit, what we're about, and a little bit more about how to get a hold of us, you can head on over to thecockpit.ca. The theme song on the podcast was written and performed by Oz. It's called Cloud Crashed. Find out more about him at oz.net. The Cockpit is broadcast every Thursday from 10 till midnight on 91.3 FM, CJTR, Regina Community Radio in Regina, Saskatchewan. Without their help and support, this show simply would not happen. So please head on by their website, cjtr.ca, learn how to support the radio station, learn how to become part of community radio, and learn about all the great shows that we have, and make sure you guys tune in and check out some shows. Well, from myself and the Navigator and everybody else in the flight crew, I want to thank you guys for downloading the podcast and taking a listen. We'll be back next month in December on the 15th with a brand new podcast, including stuff from Deer Rouge, and we've also got some stuff from the Hour Hand. It's going to be a great show. Hope you guys can tune in then. This is the pilot signing off.